I'm Sarah Littman. Welcome to Torati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Mishle, Proverbs, Chapter 4. We will be using the teachings of Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch as the overall basis for our study. In this chapter, variants of the word liknot, or kinyan, appear 5 times. That's 10 times and more frequently than in the rest of the book, and 72 plus times more frequently than they appear throughout Tanakh as a whole. Kinyan means to acquire by legal means, to actively add to one set of resources. A kane is a stem. It's the stem from which branches, flowers, and fruits are produced. So the core concept of kinyan, ownership, is not so much the purchasing through funds of any item, but it's actually the production of something, the making of something into a part of one's resource set. The secondary meaning of kinyan is when that acquisition is accomplished through a financial transaction. But the primary meaning of kinyan is when you build something yourself, and now it is yours because you made it exist. It is therefore fully yours, and it is a realization or an embodiment of your will and your planning, your thoughts and your energy and your effort, not someone else's. And as an expression of yourself, you feel connected to it. Thus, God is Kone Shamayim Va'aretz, owner of heaven and earth. Well, they're his because he created them. The first instance of the use of this word, kane, or liknot, is in Bereishis chapter 4. V'ha'adam yada es chava ishto, v'tahar v'teled es kayin. And Adam knew his wife, Chava, Eve, and she conceived and she bore Kayin. V'tomar, and she said, kanisi ish es Hashem. I have acquired a man with God. What an odd statement. But in understanding that kinyan is not about buying, it's about producing, we can understand that what Chava is saying is, in addition to God's creative force, I have given over of my own self into the creation of this new baby human. Konisi ish es Hashem. She's celebrating her participation, the fact that this child is an embodiment, quite literally, of her own energy. And just as having means in one's resource set allows one more reach, more capacity to reach out, to provide, to contribute, having a child born of my energy is also a source of future strength and contribution that allows my reach to go further. So kinyan, ownership, describes the moral aspect of ownership, not possession by force, but the legal relationship of someone whose property is an extension of themselves and allows them to act on a larger stage. When we understand that the central meaning of kinyan, the primary meaning, is acquisition through an investment of effort and energy, not money really, we gain a whole new level of insight into advice given to us in the Mishnah in Avos. In Avos chapter 1, Yehoshua ben Parachya teaches, Ase lecha rav, provide yourself with a teacher, ukne lecha chaver, and acquire for yourself, get for yourself, a friend, a companion. Vehevedanes kol ha'adam lekaf zechus, and judge all people favorably. We may have wondered in the past, ukne lecha chaver, does that mean buying a friend, giving them lots of presents? I think we all know that wouldn't be much of a friendship. What the Mishnah is telling us is to invest in building a real friendship. Put in effort, put in energy, sweat equity. Invest in a real friendship so you can acquire a real friend, a companion, a helper, a counselor. Get a real friend by putting in effort. It's not about sharing taste in music or liking the same food. A relationship is built through accommodation, association, empathy. A wise teacher and a true friend, these are, in fact, among the greatest treasures and most valuable resources we can have in our lives. When we take this learning about the primary meaning of kinyan into our relationship with the secondary financial meaning of kinyan, it broadens our relationship with the things that we own. Because every possession, whether large or small, which God grants me, brings with it the duty to make proper use of it. That's a direct function of understanding that ownership in Jewish thought is not about how much I have, it's about how much I have to work with. But when I regard the possession of things, stuff, as being the purpose itself, rather than being tools for the purpose, then what I have is avarice, greed, and selfishness. Just like God gave a body to my human soul as a tool for its human activities, God gives me things on earth. He gives them to my human spirit, not to my body, to acquire and use for the same purposes during the period of time in which the soul will be active in the physical world. So in that sense, then, our property belongs to us as much as our own bodies do, which is to say, it's all on loan from God for use in fulfilling a mission. Just as a spoon is an extension of my hand and its reach, all of my property is in a sense an extension of my body and its reach. Both body and property are extensions of my soul. They enable its reach and impact into the world. When it comes to my relationship with my stuff, there are two modes of relating. Either I see myself as the center of my universe. I seek to draw into my circle the greatest volume of possessions and enjoyments possible for my own pleasure. Or I can see myself as a center point from which I radiate out blessing to as wide a circle as possible. I can tell you from personal experience that when you can put yourself in that latter mindset, you are in a happier place. The Mishnah in Avos chapter 3 teaches, Rabbi Elazar of Bartosa says, Ten lo mishelo, she'ata v'shelcha shelo. Give God what is his, because you and all that you have are his. V'chein b'David hu omer, and in fact we learn this from King David himself, who said, Ki mimcha hakol, all is from you, God, u'miyadcha nasanu lach, and from your hand we have given to you. We need to look upon ourselves and everything we have as God's property, and see ourselves as an instrument of his will. When I can relate to the physical experience of ownership and seeing that my stuff is an extension of me and my reach and my will, then I can start to appreciate that on a higher level, I and all of my stuff are an extension of God's will as his property. If I can see that all that I am and all that I have belong to God, and that whatever I may be and whatever I may possess, I have from his hand alone. If I have that thought in my mind, then number one, I am ready at any time to use whatever means are at my disposal to do God's work, because that's why I've got it. Number two, I won't become arrogant about what I've been given or what I've achieved, because I know it's not really mine. It's God's success. It's what he's providing in order that I can help do the job. And number three, I have the inner tools to not get overwhelmed, not be crushed by the burden of how much there is to do. Because if I'm an extension of God's will, God's activity in the world, then it's his strength and his power working through me. I don't have to worry about running out or running low. If everything I do, I can see through the lens of shining godliness, relating to the world as on a mission from God, then my work is no longer my own doing. I'm not doing it with my own profit as the goal. I can have a humble station, or I can be honored and respected. Like King Solomon, I could be a king. But I know I've been assigned to a mission by God himself, and God knows my strengths. It's his spirit that animates me. He has placed me in the particular context I find myself so that I can do the job here and now. If I am his instrument, then I know that he is present with me always, providing the energy, the tools, the opportunities, and the resources. Whether I have a lot or a little is immaterial. What I have is not a definition of the measure of my blessing or success. How much I have, or even how successful I have been, are God's to provide, as appropriate to the job. The definition of success in life, then, is how well did I do in the mission? How did I do on the task? Did I live to receive blessing, or to give it and to be it? Says Rabbi Hirsch in the classic Chorev, not the thousands you have amassed or wasted for the sake of sensual pleasures and earthly ambitions, but the penny with which you have fed the hungry, clothed the bare, and succored the unfortunate in their need, that penny will support you in the hereafter before God's throne. Not the decades of levity and self-indulgence or the pursuit of riches and pleasure, but the moments which will transform your last hour into the sweetness of bliss and hope will be those moments in which you dried someone's tears, lessened his pain, comforted him in his distress, brought tranquility to a mind at odds with itself and the world. We all know we can't take it with us. To spend a life seeking to acquire for the sake of acquisition is a terrifyingly empty thought. No matter how much money I can amass, I can't take it with me. All that will come with me before God's throne in the next world will be the money with which I have fed the hungry, helped those in need, supported others who needed a hand. If so, then what are the riches I want to strive for? How do I want to enrich myself in life? I want to enrich my mind with knowledge and experience. I want to enrich my heart with love. I want to enrich my mouth with eloquence. I want to enrich with strength my arm. Because these, more than the money, will enable me to be a support, an inspiration, a comfort, a parent, and a helper to those in times of sickness, distress, danger, despair, or confusion. In a marvelous passage cited in the Mishnah in Avos, chapter 6, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma shares an experience. Once, he says, I was walking along the way, and I ran into someone. He greeted me, and I returned the greeting. He said to me, Rabbi, where are you from? I said to him, I'm from a great city full of wise and studied people. He said to me, Rabbi, would you like to come live in our city? I'll pay you thousands and thousands of golden dinars and lots of precious jewels and pearls. I said to him, my child, Imatano seinli chol kesef v'zahav v'avanim tovos u'margaliot shebaolam. My child, if you give me all the silver, all the gold, all the jewels and pearls that are in the world, ein hitar elavim kom Torah, I will not live anywhere other than a place of Torah. Because when a person leaves this world, none of it accompanies him, not the silver, not the gold, not the jewels, not the pearls, only the Torah he has learned and the good deeds he has done. With this Torah understanding of what we're going to acquire in life as we pass through it, let's see what Shlomo HaMelech teaches his children and us. Chapter 4, verses 3 to 7. Kivein hayisi la'avi, rach v'yachid lifnei imi. I was a son to my father, tender child to my mother. Vayoreni vayomer li, my father taught me, he said to me, Yismach dvarai libecha, let my words support your heart. Shmor mitzvosai v'chye. Listen to my instructions and live. Kanei chachma, kanei vina. Acquire wisdom, acquire insight. Al tishkach ve'al teit me'im refi. Don't forget, don't stray from the words I'm telling you. Al tazveha v'tishmerecha. Do not forsake the Torah, and she will guard you. Ehoveha v'sitzrecha. Love her, and she will protect you. Reshis chachma, kenei chachma. The beginning of wisdom is just go acquire wisdom. Uvechol kinyancha, kenei vina. And in every acquisition, let you acquire insight. Thank you for studying together with me. Le'ilui nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.